Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome into the Monday morning edition of the Chase McCabe Show. Junie Riddle filling in for Chase McCabe live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Download their app and use the promo code THEGAME today. Titans defensive coordinator Shane Bowen is at the podium right now, so we are going to kick off today's show heading over to the Ascension Thomas St. Thomas Sports Complex over there to the defense coordinator now.
Carving out a role for himself. Hopefully that continues. And he showed up Saturday. So hopefully that continues. I've been pleased with Mike and how he's progressed here. And I think he's a guy that's been a riser throughout camp that we were a little uncertain of going into it.
And what about Shai Carter?
Yeah, really good. Like, Shai's always been the guy. I mean, we've had him here, just dependable. I think he tried to play physical on Saturday. He tried to show up in the run game. Got to clean up some tackling stuff with him. Just a little bit undersized guy going in there to tackle at times. It comes into play. But the ability to show up, get out of the post, and show up on plays. He's got to work on wrapping up a little bit.
Chance Campbell made a couple of big plays. How's he kind of progressed through this camp?
Yeah, it was good to see Chance out there flying around. I thought he played fast. I did. There were a couple of plays I'm sure he'd want back. But he showed up doing all the right things in the right spot for the most part. So hopefully he continues to perform that way because, again, I think it's a pretty deep room. It's a competitive room from the first guys to the last guys. Special teams are going to be vital for that room and those position battles. But it's good to see those guys progress and go out there and show the improvement they've made since we've been in training camp.
Who among the young defensive linemen stood out to you?
Yeah, I think TK has done a great job since he's been here. He's, again, with all those young guys, it's just the consistency of it. Like, you see flashes of him in the run game, using his length, playing with his hands. You see the ability to rush. So hopefully we can continue to work on the day-to-day and every play having that. I thought that whole group battled, right? Like, not having a ton of numbers there going into the game between Jaleel, between Shelvin, between Shaq before he went down. I thought those guys battled for us. So hopefully that continues. I think these preseasons are huge just for the competitive aspect of trying to figure out the depth there as we get to the 53.
What's the adjustment been like for him from smaller school to NFL speed?
Yeah, I thought he did a really good job on Saturday. Like, you saw some good things from him. You saw him flash. I thought he was running to the football. I don't think the speed of the game was as dramatic as I thought it would be. Like, it is for every rookie, don't get me wrong. But I didn't think that was a big issue for him. I think with him, it's just continue the reps, continue to see things, the strength, right? Continue to work in the weight room to get stronger. But he has some ability.
Thank you.
That was Titans defensive coordinator Shane Bowen at the podium talking about some of the defensive depth pieces that showed out in yesterday's game. You know, I really liked what he had to say about Caleb Murphy because I went back through and did a bunch of film review on this game against the Chicago Bears. And I got to tell you, when most of the first team defense is not playing, it wasn't really a lot of things that caught my eye. I saw a lot of different mistakes, and we're going to get into a bunch of that later. But one of the guys that did stand out to me was Caleb Murphy, the outside linebacker out of Ferris State, who I believe, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Frazier, but didn't he set an NCAA record of most sacks in a season? He had like 25 plus or something like that.
That sounds familiar. Well, let me double check for you. We'll get back to that, but that does sound familiar.
I'm pretty sure he did. It might have been the Division II record. I know for sure he had like 25 plus sacks, and this is somebody that TD kept talking about a bunch. But definitely, yeah, no, he definitely stood out. He also mentioned another defensive depth piece that stood out in Chance Campbell, who showed up. I felt like Chance Campbell had a really good day. You know, obviously wasn't going to be a perfect day for the backup defense. They had a bunch of lapses, but something that he said and something we've seen in training camp practices is that Chance Campbell is somebody that's going to be in the right position. He likes to fly to the ball. He plays fast and looks good. So both of those guys are guys that I had seen when going back and reviewing some of the tape. But
25 and a half sacks.
25 and a half. See, I don't care if you play D3 football. 25 sacks in a season in the college level.
That's unheard of.
That's ridiculous, dude. Did it say it was the record for college
football? Yes, it says 25 and a half sacks set an NCAA single season record, also tied with the NCAA record at 39 tackles for loss.
Wow. Yeah, no, I mean, he definitely should have been playing Division I football there somewhat. But, you know, we're running a little bit late here on the first segment, just wrapping up there at the podium there at training camp with Titans defensive coordinator Shane Bowen. So we're going to kick off with some of the headlines this morning, and we're going to go to the Pulse. All right, first, if we're going to talk about a pulse, we need to talk about my pulse. All right, my heart's beating pretty fast right now, Frazier, because as I alluded to you before the show, but I'm going to share this with the audience as well. Originally, I was supposed to be down at training camp this morning, but if you're close to downtown, you will know that it is a torrential downpour. So I had to make a quick U-turn and turn around this morning. So little bit hectic, but
love those Mondays.
But the first actual headline that we have is something that I saw on ESPN that I was kind of, you know, surprised by. Coming out of Indianapolis, Stephen Holder from ESPN, the Colts reporter there, All-Pro running back Jonathan Taylor, who remains at odds with the Indianapolis Colts over his contract situation, is expected to return to training camp this week, according to Shane Steichen. Taylor has been rehabilitating an ankle injury at an out-of-state facility since early last week, choosing to continue his recovery there rather than with the team personnel. But Steichen said Sunday that Taylor will be back in the coming days. I got to let you know, that is some good news coming out of the Colts, because if you got a glimpse of what the Colts' offensive line and what their personnel did, I know not all the starters played, but a lot of them did. It did not look very well for Indianapolis, so they need all the help they can get. And I think that maybe getting a glimpse of that and getting a glimpse of Anthony Richardson and how he looked in his first preseason game, maybe the Colts are kind of retracting all the things that they said. Maybe they might be willing to work something out with old Jonathan Taylor, wouldn't you think?
Just might. There's that little small factor. They just might.
So, yeah, definitely need Jonathan Taylor to come back for the Colts to be able to do just about anything. But on the contrary, who the Colts faced off this weekend was the Buffalo Bills up there in Buffalo. And I got to tell you, it was amazing to see DeMar Hamlin be able to come back and step out on the football field. I mean, he took the nation by storm last year when he went down with the heart attack on the field on that Monday Night Football game late in the year against the Cincinnati Bengals. And the fact that he is already able to come back, able to play, clear to go by the doctors, is simply a miracle. I mean, what better story in sports than a guy that has such a sudden freak injury like that go down on national TV, literally put a halt to what was likely supposed to be one of the biggest games to wrap up the year, had so much playoff implications, and it was so stunning that the NFL had to pivot and actually basically cancel the game and make up all these different rules just to go around it. And to see this guy not only survive and pull through and be an inspiration to others afterwards, for him to be able to step on the field, get out there. I had that game on simultaneously while watching the Titans game and saw him make a couple plays, getting in there, making tackles. Didn't seem like he had a lot of hesitancy. Gotta say, that was awesome to see. DeMar Hamlin getting back into the mix. But this past weekend was the first weekend of preseason football. And if you're like me and you're a football junkie, you got the NFL Plus subscription. You're watching a bunch of these games that are out of market. And I gotta say, there were some pretty good young second-year QBs that looked really good. And I'm gonna start with Sam Howell. Sam Howell came out against the Cleveland Browns, and I don't think Cleveland was playing much of their starters, but he looked efficient. He looked really, really good. I liked what I saw from Sam Howell. We didn't get to see much of him last season. He only started in that final game against the Dallas Cowboys last year, where they absolutely torched the Cowboys. But again, Sam Howell, he's going to be the starter this year. I know some people think that Jacoby Brissett is in that conversation, but I think Washington is giving the reins to this kid to see what they have. And I think they should. I think he showed a lot. And he had a really good touchdown pass to Jahan Dotson, who I'm really high on, rookie receiver last year coming out of Penn State. Don't sleep on Washington this year. I think outside of the Eagles, when it comes to the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Commanders, I think they're all going to be battling for that second spot in the NFC East. So look out for them. But another second-year quarterback that looked really sharp. And, I mean, if you didn't watch the game, I know it wasn't a local one, so if you were just watching on the NFL Network, you didn't catch this one. But Kenny Pickett and the Steelers, they looked real good. I mean, he played one drive, 6 of 7 for 70 yards, and he just marched them down the field with precision passes. Last year, he was kind of a check-down artist, was kind of timid by pressure. He maneuvered in the pocket. He didn't just check it down to the running back like he would do normally last year, and he was looking downfield at his receivers, and he hit and got a lot of his guys involved. So Kenny Pickett, Sam Howell, two second-year guys that are getting a big opportunity coming in as the starter, and those franchises looking at those guys as their guy. Really good indication that these two might be some second-year quarterbacks to look to break out. But last night, I probably watched this Titans-Bears game maybe 2 or 3 times, Frazier. I got a lot of notes and a lot of takeaways that I got. And coming up next, we are going to start with the Malik Willis and Will Levis breakdown. I thought both of them had some ups, and I thought both of them had some downs. But I don't necessarily know if their performances are as far off from one another as a lot of people on social media were talking about. We'll get into that next. You're tuning into the Chase McCabe Show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
You had the touchdown on the opening drive, and then you led the 2-minute drill for the field goal at the end of the first half. How do you like the way you were able to execute on those drives?
I think it's just awesome when you can do something in practice and, you know, consistently rep stuff and you get the opportunity in the game and you take advantage of it. So that's just awesome. And kudos to those guys that were out there with me. Help us get down there because we messed up on the first one. Then we got another opportunity and we went out there and we stuffed it in. We got a down clock and we got to kick a field goal.
That was Malik Willis in the postgame talking about his opportunity to drive the ball down and get some scores to open up the game. And also in the 2-minute drill to get that field goal to get the Titans a lead right before the half. Welcome back in to the Chase McCabe Show. Junior Riddle filling in for Chase McCabe. Join 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and come out to the 10th annual Williamson County Battle of the Badges Blood Drive Wednesday, August 16th. Every 2 seconds, someone is in need of blood, so stop by the Brentwood Library at 8109 Concord Road from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., sponsored by BL Harbert International. Listen, I saw a lot of things on social media when it came down to the Malik Willis and Will Levis QB competition. And I got to say, I think that their performances were a lot closer than what people on social media, things that I was hearing from others, had to say. I had a couple texts from people talking about how Malik Willis looked and how much better and how surprised they were. And for all of us doing this and being out at practice and hearing what Malik Willis has been doing, it was no shock to all of us about how he played. But I heard a lot of criticism about Will Levis and his performance. So I kind of want to get into this. You know, Malik Willis on the first drive had the starting O-line. He obviously a bunch of the receivers like Chig and Treylon Burks and Derrick Henry and all the main starters weren't playing. But he really had the main group out there that was going to play. And so that was the only series that they had. And let me tell you, that first play that Malik Willis had, when his first look was Josh Wiley, when as soon as the ball was snapped, he drifted behind the line and was going to the flat on the right side. And it got covered by the safety for the Bears, Eddie Jackson, who's a really talented player. Malik Willis not only saw that, but rolled out and on an off-balance platform threw the ball downfield for a 32-yard gain to Chris Moore. I thought that was encompassing of his development, because normally he might have forced that, or he would have panicked and took off running last year, but that is not what he did. He looked through his progression. He saw that Wiley got covered by a really, really good safety for the Bears, and he made the play downfield that he needed to do. Now, Chris Moore, on the other hand, listen, buddy, when you catch the ball over field, you need to look both ways before you cross the street, buddy. He was looking right upfield towards the right and completely missed the other DB that was coming from his left side and absolutely knocked the mess out of him. He's definitely got to watch that. But Malik Willis, I felt like, was up and down throughout the game. And what we saw that was good was really, really, really good. But in other drives, it felt like every other drive, he would come out and make a mistake. So the first drive, obviously, marched down the field, was very clear-cut and decisive with his decisions. And it ended up being a touchdown on the opening drive with the first team unit, and more specifically, Tajay Spears, which we'll kind of get into his performance a little bit later. But he took the offense down, scored the opening drive touchdown, and looked really efficient. But on his second drive, he looked a little bit different. First play, doesn't go as planned, throws it behind the sticks to Mason Kinsey. And then on that second play, he almost threw an interception to Michael Ojemudia. He almost picked off Will Levis as well on his first drive. But he nearly threw an interception. Later on in the game, he had fumbled the ball and he'd recovered it. But again, almost a turnover. So he had two almost turnovers. And then the big play that everybody's been talking about, Vrabel even mentioned it as well. You know, the special teams unit got a big break, forced a fumble on the punt. And then what does Malik Willis do? He has a wide open Josh Wiley inside the 10, overthrows the 6'8 tight end right off of his hand, and it gets picked. And, I mean, when your special teams unit makes a huge play like that, flips the field after you just punted the ball, and then you turn it over that way. Again, Vrabel already came out and said, Wiley needs to come down with it, but Malik needs to put the ball somewhere better. And I think that encompasses that play. It was a little bit on both of them. But again, Malik is the quarterback. You have a big target and a 6'8 rookie tight end. You got to get him the ball. He was wide open. Another play, he got strip sack fumbled for a big loss, which the Bears actually recovered. So you're talking about four plays that were potential turnovers, two of which ended up being a turnover. Outside of that, I thought he looked really, really good. And his trainer, he was DMing me and Michelle back when Michelle was still here and we were doing the weekend show, was shooting us a DM talking about all the work he had been doing, all the stuff he had been putting in the offseason. We were like, yeah, well, this is likely what a trainer is trying to do to hype up his guy. And that's what I initially thought. But then he comes out in training camp and he's looking good. So all in all, it was a lot of highs and a lot of lows for Malik Willis. If we're looking at the grand spectrum, it was up and down, up and down. In comparison to Will Levis, I thought it was more sticking in the middle. You know, he didn't have the low lows that Malik Willis had, but he also didn't have the high highs either. Malik Willis moved the ball consistently in this game. I thought he drove the ball really well. I thought he made really good reads. I thought he actually took off and used his legs when it was warranted, because a lot of times he would just, if his first read wasn't there, he would panic last year and immediately go on the run. He did not do that. When he was making his decisions, he was making very, very good choices. So he had a lot of high highs. When I look at Will Levis, it was just kind of consistent. You know, he didn't get those reps with the first team offensive line, which I really hope that he does in this upcoming game when they go into Minnesota. Hopefully he gets some opportunities with that. But, you know, for me, Levis was 9 of 14 on the day. He made a lot of safe plays. I thought Levis maneuvered in the pocket really well, considering he was under a lot of pressure. But all in all, I didn't think that his performance was as bad as what people were making it out to be on social media. And also got to say this. Everybody talking about Will Levis's final pick at the very end of the game. Like, tell me if I'm wrong, Frazier, but what else is he really supposed to do on third down with 15 seconds left on the clock in zero timeouts when you're down by six and you have to get a touchdown? Like, is there anything else he really could have done?
Well, I mean, I knew the game. A little bit, everybody kind of knew the game was going to come down to a fourth down play, potentially, if they hold on to that without giving away some sort of interception. Just throw the ball away, and then at fourth and 15, try to get to the sticks. Try to do something, you know. Maybe run a little bit, you know, juke out of the pocket, run for about 5-6 yards. I don't know, run out of bounds. But I don't think that pass was probably – I mean, it's all with the experience. I'm not an NFL QB. I don't go through the progressions. But if I'm out there, I'm definitely running the ball to the sticks or the sideline or throwing it away. Just give yourself another opportunity at it.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I want some calls and text on this. I want to know, what did you think of the backup quarterback battle? Obviously, I think Malik Willis, with the plays that he made and how he moved the ball a little bit more consistently in the big plays he made, I thought he won the day. Even with the mistakes, I thought he won the day. But it is the gap as big as everybody was making out to be. I want to hear your opinion. Again, 615-737-1025. You're listening to the Chase McCabe Show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Did you get hit on that last throw?
No. I was waiting for someone to come across the middle. Thought he was going to come behind him, came underneath. A little miscommunication, but had to try to put a ball in there to make something happen. But would like to have it back. But the play before, thought we make that play. If I make that throw, we make that catch and run. He's out the back door. So disappointing, but excited to look at it.
That was Will Levis talking about the final two plays of the game. And I got to say, I mean, he's definitely right about that second to last play. He had Holmes over the middle, and I think it was the corner that was on the far side of the field would not have had the angle to get him. I mean, if you catched him in stride, I mean, he was in there for the touchdown. He didn't throw the best ball. Definitely could have set his feet a little bit better. Maybe could have got out into space a little bit more by running to the outside a little bit more. But then maybe that wouldn't have given him time to plant his feet and make the throw. But that's a throw that he has to make. It did hit Holmes. I mean, Holmes could have caught it. And they could have ran to spike the ball for one last opportunity potentially. But again, you know, Levis has to throw a better ball in that situation. When it came to the final play, who did he mention? Karis Jackson, that he was miscommunication with the final one? Thought he was going to come a little bit more inside or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a rookie mistake. It's a rookie mistake, and like I said, if you throw a pick with 15 seconds left and you've got 30 yards to go and you have to get a touchdown – I'm not getting mad over that. Like last year when Malik Willis was playing against the Houston Texans and everybody was talking about his, I think he had two interceptions in that game, and one of which was a Hail Mary at the end of the game to try and win the game. And I'm like, what else do you want the guy to do? You know, in those situations, when you have to score and you got to force something up in the final minutes, I don't really count that as a big mistake when you're just trying to give your guy an opportunity. I don't like when people try and nitpick and add to that. Clearly, he has to do something. He can't just throw the ball away. Like, no. But
yeah, I don't know. Listening to Levis's comments there about the second to last play, if they catch that, they potentially end up scoring in that realm of possibility. I don't know. I just didn't like that answer. I felt that he probably should have answered it a different way. Like, yeah, that's on me. Should have put a better ball. Next play easily should have been, something to learn from. I just didn't like the way he answered that question. It was almost like he put the fault on the second to last play rather than the actual last play.
But I mean, it is true though. I mean, regardless of the, the PC answer, he was right. You got to make that play. And he took ownership of that. I mean, again, I get it. You can word it a little bit better. You can put it on yourself. And that's what leaders do. But at the end of the day, he's got to make that throw. Like, if he makes that throw and he makes that play, this conversation between Willis and Levis, in my opinion, is completely different. Because here's the deal. There was that three turnovers in a row where, what was it, the muffed fumble by the Bears, and then like we alluded to last break, Malik Willis threw the interception that was a bit of an overthrow to Wiley off of his hands, and then right after that, Trey Avery made the interception and got the ball right back. Levis, I felt like, because that was his second drive that he had, did really well of kind of maneuvering and making the right reads and marching them down to score the touchdown. Now, he didn't score. Haskins did. So I felt like kind of both of those evened out for scoring when it came to scoring drives and scoring opportunities between Levis and Willis. But Frazier put out a poll for the next hour. You can go and vote at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. You can vote whether you thought Willis or Levis had the better day. Me personally, he obviously has things to clean up, but I thought Willis had the better day. Anytime that you can play make, use your legs, move the ball downfield more at a consistent rate, even though he made a lot more mistakes and he put the ball in jeopardy a bit, I thought Willis still had the better day, because those are things you can clean up. And if you ever want to make mistakes when it comes to turnover, it is the preseason, and it's the first preseason game. So we queued up the phones before the break, and we're going to go there. Wes from Clarksville said the first drive was scripted, and that is why he looks so good. And he's referring to Malik Willis. And again, I get that. I think it was too. But you also have to imagine that, again, they probably scripted Levis's first drive as well. I mean, I'm sure that they did. And that ended in a three and out, mostly because Rupchich, he was in at guard. They did, the defensive line for the Bears did like a twist with the defensive end and defensive tackle, and he completely blew his assignment on third down, and it led to a Levis sack. And that's kind of what delayed Levis's first drive as well. So a lot of different things happened in this game. We also heard Tim Kelly, talking about turning the ball over. A lot of turnovers. Interception by Willis, fumble by Willis. A drive that Levis had actually going, Josh Wiley fumbled on. Not a lot of people brought that up as well. I thought he was moving the ball down really well, made a really good read. It was going to be a first down around midfield, and of course, Josh Wiley putting the ball down. He was a little bit hard on himself in the locker room after that, because he felt like both of those turnovers were really on him. Again, you're talking about leadership answers. That's what you're getting out of.
Exactly.
That's what you're getting out of that. But further going on to the text line, unnamed texter says, I want to see Levis with the starting line. Give him a better chance. I still see Willis making similar mistakes as last season. And he did. I thought in that opening drive, he was very clear, cut and decisive, and made a lot of good, quick decisions. But then on some other drives, like I said, it was up and down. It was like he would have one really good drive, and then the next he was kind of sitting there waiting around, taking his time again. And that's not something I noticed when I was watching it live, but when I went back and watched it, I saw at times that he was kind of taking a while. And whereas they both got sacked four times, and I felt like Levis got sacked genuinely because of a good pass rush by the Bears, when Willis got sacked, I felt like it was more of, him not making clear-cut decisions when it came to getting rid of the ball. Andrew says on the text line, the season is over if Willis or Levis is playing during a game that matters, so I couldn't care less about who did better. Andrew, I completely disagree. I think right now where Levis is, I think he is better than what Malik was last year at this time. And whereas Malik is right now, Corey Curtis said it best when he was on with Robbie and Paul Kaharski earlier. I mean, he said if Willis looked like this last year, the Titans are in the playoffs, and you're not even hearing about the Jags. I think they win the Texans game that they played here at home on Christmas Eve last year, and I think they beat Jacksonville in Jacksonville if Willis is able to play like he plays right now. I think both of them are in a good spot. Levis, I think he was trying to be conservative. I think he wanted to hold on to the ball, didn't want to take many chances, because what's Levis's reputation? What's his reputation? That he turns the ball over too much. He was trying to make safe, clear-cut decisions, make the right reads, and do the right things in the preseason, because he didn't want – I feel like he didn't want the mantra of the fans to come out and be like, oh, same Levis as college, even though that's what they still said after that final interception. Another texter says, Willis needs to be the backup. He's more confident and controlling of the offense. Sitting Levis this year will do him great, and he'll come in better and more developed next season to start in 2024. I don't know if I necessarily completely agree with that one either, Frazier, and I'm going to tell you why. A couple weeks ago, in OTAs, when Levis was stringing together a couple of bad practices, throwing a lot of interceptions, everybody was like, oh my gosh, we wasted the pick. He looks awful. He looks terrible. He's making all these different mistakes. But then at the same time, what did I say, Frazier? I said consistently that I was like, guys, he's going to go through this break. He's a rookie quarterback. He's fresh off the combine. Let him get into a little bit better of football shape, not combine shape, football shape. Let him take this time to progress. Look what he did and going forward. Did I say that?
You did on the Saturday shows, I believe probably a month ago, 2 months ago. Like, you were harping on it all offseason long.
I said it. I was like, guys, like, this is how rookie quarterbacks progress through their initial offseason a lot faster than what a lot of people give them credit for, because most fans don't pay attention to it. Most fans aren't diligent enough to really keep up with what's going on in practice, but what have we seen from Levis? Levis has come out since training camp has officially kicked off, after the break, put in a lot of work, and he's looked solid in practice. You could tell that he was much improved from the offseason OTAs when he was struggling a little bit to now where he's really kind of tearing it up against the third team in training camp. Elliot on the text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. You can text in as well, 615-737-1025. Levis needs to do better about feeling the pressure. That comes with reps and time, though. Pleasantly surprised with both. I don't necessarily know what Elliot's talking about here. To me, and correct me if I'm wrong, Frazier, but what I kind of saw with Levis in the pocket, the way he was maneuvering, his sidesteps, he wasn't like necessarily like taking off. He was doing just enough to avoid the rush, stay in position, and plan to throw the ball. I don't necessarily think that that was his issue. I think his issue was taking the right calculated risk to move the ball downfield a little bit more.
You're spot on, Junie. I cannot correct anything about that. You know, that text is a bit skewed because, like, Will Levis is going into the second half with not the starting offensive line. Like, that's not the same caliber that you're going up against when Malik Willis took the field in the first half. So you got to have a little bit of an open mind about how can you be as, you know, nitpicky in the second half that you were in the first half comparison to different quarterbacks.
I also want to say this, and I want to know if you noticed this as well. Did you notice how Malik Willis got a lot more opportunities in the two-minute drill in this game than Levis did? I can't remember exactly how it played out, but it might have been when he got the strip sack. But he had the 2 minute drill, and I think I'm pretty sure that's when the strip sack happened. They might have punted the ball away. I can't necessarily remember, but something happened and they gave the ball back to the Bears, and the Titans got the ball back with another opportunity, and then Willis came in again after they had kind of been rotating a bit, and then he drove the ball down, had a really, really good drive, and then got that field goal to go up 17-14 at the half. And that, I was kind of like, well, because I think it was when he got the strip sack fumble. When that happened, I was like, okay, Malik Willis got his opportunity in the two-minute drill. And again, it was partially on the O-line, but it was one of those instances where he held on to the ball a little bit too long, which is something, again, we saw improvement with, but it's still something that Willis needs to work on. And he fumbled. I figured the fact that they got the ball back and had still a legitimate opportunity in a scenario to run a two-minute offense that, okay, you just saw Willis. Why not put Levis in? And then I was like, okay, well, maybe they'll do it at the end of the game. And what do you know? No, Willis is in for the two-minute drill again. And it wasn't until, you know, the defense got a stop and the Bears punted the ball and they got it into Bears territory on the 40-yard line, down by six, needing to score, no timeouts, with 30 seconds left, that Levis got in, and now he's still getting critiqued about that. Again, 40 yards, 30 seconds, no timeouts, you need a touchdown. It's different when you need a field goal. But a touchdown, you got to give me a break. So I really felt like opportunistically, Willis got some advantages. Getting out there with the first team, getting that initial opening drive, having Tajay Spears out there, which, again, we're going to talk about some other camp battles. We're going to bring up him and his performances. But I felt like Malik got a little bit of better opportunity, and he seized a lot of it. But again, it's a little back and forth. Again, with the performances, Malik, up and down. High highs, some low lows. Levis, kind of in the middle. Little downs, little ups. Nothing really stood out. He looked like a rookie quarterback in his first preseason game. But again, Frazier put out the poll. Go check out the poll. Vote whether or not you think Willis or Levis had the better day against the Chicago Bears this past Saturday. Coming up next, I watched the Colts and Texans preseason games as well. And if you thought Malik and Will struggled a little bit, wait till you get a glimpse of how Anthony Richardson and C.J. Stroud did in comparison. You're listening to the Chase McCabe Show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back into the Chase McCabe Show. Junior Riddle filling in for Chase McCabe today and tomorrow. Also, tune in to Caroline Willie and D-Mates today as they broadcast live from Titans training camp. They'll get player interviews and deliver the latest updates with Titans practice as the team preps for the 2023 season. Coverage of Titans training camp is presented by the Simmons Bank Open, Parman Energy, Caudle Vet Clinic, and the new Cumberland Develop. We teased it before the break, talking about Anthony Richardson and C.J. Stroud, other rookie quarterbacks in the division. And I got to say, neither of them really impressed. And I obviously ruffled some feathers, Frazier, because guess who just texted in? It was Indy Ben. He goes, "You have to be kidding me. There's no way you can convince me that Richardson struggled any more than Levis. The INT was a communication issue in the wide receiver, and then Anthony went on to bounce back with some nice throws, including a deep TD throw to Pierce that was dropped. Levis had an INT as well and should have had two." Okay, Indy Ben. First of all, you cannot sit here and tell me that Anthony Richards' interception was due to a communication issue. No, he was under pressure, and he threw off platform, and he threw it right to the DB. And there was two DBs right there. The slot corner was under the receiver. The outside corner was behind the receiver. And he simply overthrew him because he wasn't throwing on platform. Now, the throw to Pierce was not going to be a TD. It was going to be inside the five. It was a good throw. But everything else that I saw from Anthony Richardson was really just check down, Charlie. Did you get any glimpse of Anthony Richardson this past weekend against the Bills?
I did not. I had some family in town this weekend. I was only able to watch the Titans game that was in and out due to the weather delays and all the weather updates. But no, I saw some highlights on Twitter, though.
Oh, Indy Ben text again says, "The coach freaking said it was a communication issue." What do you think he's going to say, Indy Ben? What do you think he's going to say about his rookie quarterback who made a pretty awful mistake in his first go about? Listen, say what you want. I don't think the Colts need to be starting Anthony Richardson to begin the year. They need to go with Gardner Minshew. They need to let this guy sit. Obviously, they're going to put him in eventually, but from what I saw, it wasn't too impressive. I thought the way Levis played, I thought he played, again, a little bit more carefully. He was doing a lot of checkdowns too, but Levis was throwing some good out routes. He was making some good plays with his legs outside of the pocket. He evaded two sacks, one of which in the red zone that evaded a sack, and another one he rushed to make it, I believe, third and short that they wound up getting with Julius Chestnut. So he was using his legs very well. So Anthony Richardson didn't really impress me as well. I would say Levis had a better day than Anthony Richardson, but both of them for sure had better days than C.J. Stroud, and we talked about this a little bit on our weekend show on Saturday about how he looked. I mean, he only got two drives, two of four passing, 13 yards, and I get it. His offensive line wasn't playing that well, but, you know, the interception that he threw to Jalen Mills was god-awful. It wasn't even those, like, oh, I could see what he was trying to do there, just a little bit off with his pass. It's like, dude. I mean, he was sitting there roaming, daring you to throw that pass, and it went straight to him. He also had an awful sack that he took for minus 15 yards, which you just absolutely cannot play. So either way, I mean, both of them looked really bad. Again, Levis is getting complaints because he didn't show a lot of flash. I thought for his first preseason game, he looked pretty solid. So again, when you're talking about apples to apples here with other rookie quarterbacks, a lot of these guys didn't impress. Even Bryce Young, you know, he got a couple drives there against the Jets, and they got him out immediately because he was just getting destroyed out there. He made a couple good passes, nothing again super flashy. I mean, he didn't get to show a lot, but from what we did, it seemed like he's going to be running for his life a lot this year. And I thought Carolina was going to do a little bit more in the offseason to fix up their offensive line, but apparently not. And then Elliot texts and he goes, I'm a Florida fan and I'm shocked that people are surprised that an inconsistent yet wildly talented college QB played inconsistent in a preseason game. Elliot, I mean, I agree with you. Listen, I was all for Anthony Richardson going back to Florida. I thought if he went back to Florida this year, even though Caleb Williams and Drake May have all the hype, I really thought he would have been battling for that number one QB coming out this year. I felt like he could have done a lot of things fundamentally to help. You know, he had certain games last year where he looked amazing. I mean, I think of the Utah game. I think the Tennessee game. And other games, he looked really bad. Like in the Kentucky game against Will Levis down there in Gainesville. I mean, didn't look good. So, you know, Anthony Richardson is going to be a project. I think if the Colts were smart, they would kind of dial down the hype a little bit because you could tell the Bills really wanted to try and get after this guy. And I would let Gardner Minshew start the year and kind of phase him in towards the middle of the season. That would be the smart thing to do. But again,
I'll say this before we go to break. Anthony Richardson, I've said this on this show multiple times and on the weekends, if and when Jonathan Taylor comes back, it's going to open up the offense for Indianapolis. I do believe Anthony Richardson will have a pretty darn good rookie season.
And I've said this as well. I think Anthony Richardson, if the Colts play this right, he could have a rookie year like Lamar Jackson. Inconsistent in the passing game, but with a really good run game and a good offensive line and using his athletic ability and his arm talent, it can make up for some of those flaws that he has with his mechanics. But hour number two is coming up next. Frazier's going to talk about NSC's huge win that they have last week and what this means for Nashville SC and the city of Nashville in general. We got Jonathan Hutton coming up at 10:30, and I'm going to break down some other positions outside of the quarterback that we saw that really stood out to me. You are listening to the Chase McCabe Show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.